Good morning. It's 11:38 on February 15th, 2012, a Wednesday morning, cold, overcast, a bit breezy. It was calm when I left the house. It's picked up a bit, and it's still quite chilly out this morning. And yes, it's morning. I got underway before 11:30 today, before almost noon. It's been a full day. I'm getting ready to do a guest lecture tonight online with some students at Moorhead. They're discussing multimedia production, and so I'll be working with them on this idea of podcasting, and particularly on podcast to print. This idea that podcasts can create audiences that then can translate into other forms of the same medium, I'm sorry, of different medium, of the same stories, is a bit different than what they're used to hearing. So it should be quite interesting to participate with them. I've also been invited to submit a presentation to the next annual convention of the Association of Education, Communications, and Technology, a professional organization that was really quite active in for about a decade, but it seems to be much more interested in education than in learning lately. So I kind of drifted away. It's not an organization I really have a lot of affinity with, even though they are probably the professional organization for instructors of educational technology, which in my other hat I am. The truth is, educational technology as a field is one of those rather unfortunate fields that doesn't really seem to have a home. It's really rather an important one. And of course I say that because I'm biased by having been through the program and having seen what educational technology entails. The reality is that everything that happens in a classroom should be helped. I won't say prescribed, but helped by the application of some basic ideas, educational technology, ideas of engagement, of classification of knowledge, of learning how people learn as best we can tell. Learning how people learn is a difficult thing because we can't really see people learning. And one of the things that has come out lately is that a lot of what we think is learning isn't, and a lot of what we didn't think of learning is. It's pretty chaotic at times. And the problem, of course, is that people have agendas in the classroom. So the teacher has an agenda, and the agenda is usually set by the administration. The administration's agenda is set by the public and the external forces. In elementary school and public school, it's set by the government, not actually set by parent expectations, which is one of the big disconnects. Because all the expectations set in a classroom are set by administrators who are answerable to government employees, not people who are answerable to parents, certainly not answerable to students. Because, after all, what adult wants to be answerable to children? So in the higher ed, where ostensibly the students are more adult, there become some interesting challenges. A man named Knowles, N-O-W-L-E-S, I want to say Robert. Anyway, he has this theory of androgyny, not androgyny, androgyny. It's a adult education as distinct from pedagogy, which is teaching of children. And his biggest idea here is really, and I probably talked about it before, is really less informative in terms of how we teach adults as it is an indictment of the way that we teach children. Because basically what he says is You have to give adults reasons why they're learning things, because they won't stand for learning in a vacuum. They won't put up with it. The implication, of course, is that we don't need to tell children that, because they have to take whatever we give them. And that's really borne out in classrooms all across the country every day, which is kind of shocking, but nevertheless, pretty true. Now, some teachers try to give the whys, but the problem is that the whys are often indirect. The whys are often not clear, even to the teachers, let alone to the students that they're trying to teach. So it becomes an interesting challenge. Now, one thing that I'm pretty sure of, now, I don't know this in terms of scientific fact, but I have a hypothesis that I don't have any idea or any way to test, actually. But I don't have any idea if it's true, and I don't know how to test it. But the hypothesis is, what separates humans from animals is not the fact that we're tool users. It's the fact that we learn. Because there are animals that use tools, rudimentary tools, but tools. And there are animals, actually, who learn. But they're not animals who learn on purpose. There are animals who learn because they get trained by their environment, because they observe something and then they mimic it. And that has a positive outcome for them, so they repeat it. So this notion of operant conditioning, which is one that Pavlov made popular, the stimulus response issue. You know, that still works with people, it works with animals. But people are the only ones who seek learning. People seem to be the only ones who will go out of their way to learn something, to find out something. Why does this work like this? How does that go together? Where's the meaning? So I think that's really one of the things that separates us from animals. Which makes it interesting, because the brain is really a black box. We don't, even with all of our most sophisticated sensors and tools, we really can't map when somebody learns something. The best we can do in school is to give an assessment that is an indirect measure of how much what we intended for them to learn, they actually learned. I'm going to cross the street because that dog is out. He's behind a fence, so I'm in no danger, but the noise is just aggravating. So, the tests in school, the assessments that we give to students, are really recognized. I mean, it isn't a question, but it's largely recognized that these are indirect measures of learning. They're not actually measuring how much people learn. They're really only giving you a clue about how much the student can recall of what they might have learned that you ask them about. Now, how you ask the question has a big influence on how much they recall. So if you ask the question the same way that the material was presented, it's much more likely that they'll remember it, even if they haven't learned anything by it. It's particularly true of rote memorization, which is, face it, about 90% of what happens in school. Very little of integrative knowledge occurs in the classroom. Even mine, especially mine. So it's an interesting question, it's an interesting problem. How do we deal with learning? What do we know about learning? How do we measure learning? What do we know about learning from these indirect means? We put something in and we measure a response. And the simpler the input and output, the more reliable, perhaps. But also the more boring, the least engaging. How do you want to phrase that? So because it's an interesting question. How do you keep people engaged? How do you get people to listen? How do you get people to pay attention? How do you get people to care enough about a subject to actually learn something about it, on a deep level, on a level where 5 years from now they'll be able to use it. Something akin to how to ride a bicycle. Now, of course, a lot of information, a lot of learning, you really don't. The other side of that is that a lot of information you really do. So I couldn't, for example, do much with Morse code right now. But it wouldn't take me anywhere near as long to relearn Morse code right now than it took me in the beginning, back in 1970, to learn Morse code. So interesting neuroscience about learning crossed my desk the other day, and that's that new neurons are formed regardless of how old you are. And this is significant because one of the theories of aging is that the reason the brain breaks down is that you don't learn new things, so the brain doesn't get stimulated, so the neurons break down and leads to problems. But in circumstances where new learning is encouraged in a stress-free environment, that is something you want to learn, not something you have to learn, then the neuron production actually gets stepped up, and it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80, that neuron production keeps going. So one of the keys, it seems to me, to mental health is to learn something new all the time. And I know I'm certainly guilty of that because I'm always off chasing some new idea, some new technology, some new technique. But how do we deal with that with students, with classrooms, with education? Because learning can't wait, but education requires a schedule. And this is a fundamental breakdown between what students need and what teachers give. This is why massively open course, 160,000 people learning artificial intelligence. That's why it's so important, because that's not necessarily on a schedule. People want to know it now. Excuse me. Sneeze on my coat. I got a big truck riding by. UPS truck. So it's an interesting problem, it's an interesting challenge. And too many people in educational technology, in the field of educational technology, are really interested in this field of teaching. They want to know how to educate better. And I want to know how to learn better. I want to know how learning really works. I once postulated that learning is not a simple domain. Learning is not a skill per se that we use by itself. It's in fact a two-headed domain wherein we apply the tools and techniques of learning, of repetition, of reading, of investigation, of creating hypotheses and testing them against various kinds of situations. Those kinds of activities are learning activities. And we typically engage those in some content area domain. So, for example, I might want to learn about podcasting, or I might want to learn about audio engineering, or I might want to learn about rocket science, or I might want to learn about math, or whatever. But those people who have a rich learning set, who have a lot of tools to pull from, a lot of different strategies for exploring learning, those people have a big leg up on the people who don't have any, or who maybe know how to read, but don't really know how to follow up, who don't know how to question, who don't even know that they should question what they're reading. Those people who don't think critically about the source of the material they're coming from. Those are the people who don't have a good time learning. They don't learn with a great deal of depth, and quite frequently they don't learn a lot of what's really going on. So they get frustrated and they walk away and they leave it and they, well, I'm too stupid to learn this. I'm too dumb. I can't do it. But nobody wants to talk about learning. Nobody in school wants to talk about how you help people learn. What kinds of tools and techniques can you use to help people learn about learning? And the silly part is that it seems to me that the answer is you teach them something else. and then use a really common technique called reflection or metacognition to take a step back from the process to say, okay, how did that work? What did we just do? Why did we just do it? How come that? And when you do that with students as the teacher, it forces them to examine the process, not just the outcome. If, on the other hand, what you do is say you got an A, all they care about is the outcome. That's the only thing that's important because it's the only thing that you feed back to. So what did we do? Well, we wrote, and we read each other's writings, and then we commented on them. So what did that do? How did that help you to learn, or did it? Well, it was confusing. I didn't know who was right, and everybody seemed to have different ideas. Okay, and what are your ideas based on what they say? Well, you know, I think this person had some points there, but I don't really agree with this other point that they made. Well, this person over here, I think that one is much closer to what I think of as the truth, but all the rest of it was just total crap. And in the process of discussing, in the process of having to verbalize, whether in writing or orally, that level of metacognition, that level of thinking about thinking, they learn new techniques for how to learn the next thing. Now, the question is one, of course, of transference, and that's, can they use the learning that they've just acquired in one domain, in one area, and apply it in another arena? And that's always an interesting question. And one of the things that school teachers find quite frequently is a student who can do the 2-minute timed arithmetic drill can't make change to save their butt. Why? It's the same skill, but it's context sensitive, and pretty much all skill is context sensitive. So if you teach them to do it in one environment, but then you test them in a different one, or heaven forfend, you teach them in one environment, but they're expected to use it for real in a different environment. And that becomes a bit of a problem because they don't recognize the applicability of the learning in multiple contexts. Which is a heck of a lot more than you probably tuned in for today, but it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. So yeah, educational technology. I ran for president, and I scared the hell out of them, because I thought that mostly what they do is a waste of time. And, well, I didn't actually say that. It was pretty clear that I thought that a lot of their activities were contrived and artificial, while at the same time they were espousing the notion of authentic activities and learning, and yet it wasn't a skill that they practiced on their own. So it was a bit two-faced on their part. They didn't really see the cognitive dissonance there. It's like they talk the talk, but they weren't able to walk the walk. And I still see that a lot in AACT. I see it in educational technology. I see it in schools. Of course, in schools, the problem with schools is really political. It's not really technical. It's not even really educational. It's political. And as long as schools are run by politicians, we're going to have the problem of politics dictating what's the appropriate policy. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Because schools, to be frank, schools need funding. They need money. And the only place there's sufficient money, and even that's not sufficient, which is another argument, is through government. You know, the reality is, I've used this on more than one occasion, education is dealing with the 50-cent Mercedes. And that's it. Education is the employee who's tasked by the boss to go buy a 50-cent Mercedes. The boss wants a new vehicle for the company, and he's given them 50 cents to go buy a new Mercedes. And, of course, the person can't buy a Mercedes for 50 cents. So he objects, and he goes back to the boss and says, I can't buy a Mercedes for 50 cents. And the boss says, well, of course you can. Anybody should be able to buy a Mercedes for 50 cents. That's all I've got. It's all I can afford, and I need a Mercedes, so go buy it. And the guy says, well, I can't. It's just not possible. All right, the boss says, I'll double your budget. I'll give you a buck. And the guy says, well, the Mercedes costs $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. $1 isn't gonna buy me coffee at the Mercedes dealership, and it's free. So the boss says, "Well, all right, if you won't do it, you're fired. I'll find somebody who will." So they bring the next guy in, give him $1, go buy a Mercedes. Now you don't have to go through too many people before you find one who'll take the buck and go buy a Mercedes, except they won't buy the Mercedes. They'll take the dollar, they'll walk away, they'll come back in 3 weeks. And by then you'll have forgotten and you'll have to go do something else. That's education. The 50-cent Mercedes. We can't do the kinds of education that we need on the kinds of funding that we're willing to support. And yet we're not willing to accept the level of education that the level of funding that we provide can do. There's probably room for improvement, don't get me wrong. But this whole idea of the 50-cent Mercedes is one that keeps echoing in my head whenever I think about education, whenever I think about trying to do something to make a difference. Anyway, I'm at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.